We've been sent into the world. We're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth, loved one. Listen, the Bible says that every believer, if you name the name of the Lord and you are saved, you are right now an ambassador for Christ.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello, everyone. It's great to have you joining us for Pastor Bill's study in the Epistle of 1 Corinthians. Today, Pastor Bill concludes the message, None of These Things. So, let's join the study.
God raised up people outside of Calvary Chapel for those 8 years to help make sure financially that my family didn't have any needs. Can you believe that? Isn't that how God works? I look and I say, oh God, you're so good. I understand this. And here was the same thing that every person that should feel is like Paul. See, he had an urgency. He had it in his heart, in his spirit. He said, oh gosh, I've got to tell everyone about Jesus. I've got to tell everyone about the man, the risen Lord that I met on the Damascus Road. I've been entrusted with something. I've got to tell everyone. Listen, you know what? That's what it's like for us as well. Jesus laid the gospel upon Paul, and he's laid it upon us. We have a duty. We have an obligation to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, we're fishers of men, amen? We've been sent into the world. We're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth, loved one. Listen, the Bible says that every believer, if you name the name of the Lord and you are saved, you are right now an ambassador for Christ. You're his representative. You're to go and tell everyone about Jesus. Listen, you know, it's vital for every church, and this church, I'm so thankful that you do these things. You know, it's vital for every church to support the ministers at work, yes, but also the missions and the outreaches and all, like, for example, the Halton Christian School that's coming this time next year. It'll be an operation, reaching out and training young minds and loving them and showing Christ to them. Amen? See, that's what it's about. The Great Commission, Matthew 28:19 and following. Loved one, listen, the great commandment has never changed. It's a command from the Lord. What a great promise. And hey, you go, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the age. Aren't you glad that this church here, that you are a mission-minded church, that you care about the lost, that you care about our work in Mexico, the children that are there? You're givers to that. I'm thankful for you. Stephen Carroll, the directors of it, they're thankful for you. Listen, you should have the entire prayer team, even now, on your prayer list, and you pray for their safety even now before they ever hit Camargo. Amen? Now, Paul says, for if I do this willingly, in other words, of my own initiative, I have a reward. In other words, I would deserve a payment. But watch what he does. But if against my will, and Paul is saying, and I don't have a choice about it, and here's why, I have been, past tense, entrusted with a stewardship. That stewardship, of course, what he's been entrusted with is the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel. He says, what is my reward then? In other words, what kind of pay am I going to get? Well, that when I preach the good news, I may present the gospel of Christ, how? Without charge. In other words, free of charge. Why? That I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. In other words, I'm not going to demand my rights. I'm not ever going to demand my rights. Paul says, you know what my reward is? I get to preach the gospel whether I'm supported or whether I am not supported. Amen? That's what he was saying. He had every right to their financial support, but the fact of the matter is he had liberty also not to accept it. I love Paul. Paul the Apostle to me is, with the exception of our Lord Jesus Christ, there's none like him. But I'll tell you, out of everyone in the Bible, I find no better man than Paul the Apostle in the entire New Testament. He is a treasure for a man to say, like he did, Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ. Think of that. What do you say? For you to live is what? Paul said, for me to live. my whole life, all that I do, my life is narrowed down to one thing and one desire only. I only desire to live for Jesus Christ, and to die is gain. Paul the apostle, the great man of God, why did Paul waive all his God-given liberties and his rights? Let's look at his own words, verse 19. For though I am free from all men, in other words, I'm a slave to no man, I have made myself, in other words, of his own volition, I've made myself a servant or a slave to all. In other words, I put myself into slavery, and look why, that I might win the more. My Lord, what kind of man is that? Proverbs 11:30 says, he who winneth souls is wise. And that's exactly Paul. He says, I have made that I might win. Augustine said this. He said, man is most free when controlled by God alone. It's amazing, isn't it? Paul was willing to do absolutely anything, give up any kind of right, God-given right even, that he might win others to Jesus Christ. May we have that same mindset. Amen. No matter what it takes, let's get people, let's win them to Christ. Now look at what he says in verse 20. To the Jews I became as a Jew that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, the reason, that I might win those under the law. To those who are without the law, meaning the Gentiles, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ. In other words, I am free from all men, but I'm not free from God's word. Amen? In other words, the law of Christ is the law of love. Love works no harm toward his neighbor. Love fulfills the law. And so he goes on and he says, that I might win those without law. To the weak, those who were, they were tormented to even think about eating a piece of meat that was sacrificed to an idol. He says, to the weak, I became as weak. Why? That I might win the weak. I love this. I have become all things to all men. And here's the reason. That I might, by all means, save some. All things to all men. Loved one, listen. This in no way implies that Paul says, okay, I'm going to meet with this group, so I'm going to have to water down the gospel, the good news, just a little bit. No. Or I'm going to meet with this group over here, so I better compromise a little. No. Paul never, ever, ever did those things. Loved one, this is a model for every one of us to win the lost. You know what I love about Paul? Paul was a bridge builder, wasn't he? He wasn't a wall builder. You know what I mean? He was a stepping stone for people. He wasn't a stumbling stone. Paul would do absolutely nothing to harm a believer. I think today that many Christians, they're in their own little watertight circle. Here we are. We're all believers. We all say the same thing, act the same way, and praise God for it. But you know what? There's a million people out there going to hell. And the only way they're ever going to be saved is you. There's not another way. God uses his church to go into all the world. And that's what Paul did. And you know why he did this? Look at verse 23. Now this I do, or the reason I'm doing all of this is for the good news sake, for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you. Verse 24, look how it's done. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Now look what he says to the believer. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. In other words, make the prize yours. The Corinthians were very familiar with Paul just said. The Greek games or the Olympiad and all the rest of that stuff, they were very familiar with all those things. And so they knew that if you're going to be in the Olympics, you, and especially the running, you would run. But, you know, everybody was running, but the fact is only one was going to get the prize. Only one is going to get the reward. Now, the Christian, loved one, we don't run in order to get saved. We're already saved. Amen? We don't run to win heaven. No, heaven is already our home. You know, the Bible is very clear, you know, that we're looking for a new heavens, a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness from God. No, he says, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, watch these, the they and the we. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we do it for an imperishable crown. He says, you know, they're temperate in all things. That means literally they exercise self-control. If you're going to run in the Olympics, do you have to, certain things you would have to do? Thank you. Four of you realize that. No. Would you have to eat right? Yes. Exercise right? Yes. Yes. Listen, would you have to work out? Boy, man, it's terrible, all the stuff you have to do. Listen, what is Paul saying? He's saying, you know what? You have to give up your rights. Can you not give up just a few of them for your brothers and sisters in Corinth? Would you stop causing them to stumble? That's what Paul, because we're all running a race. He said, listen, we must be temperate in all things, exercising that self-control. He says, and they give up, meaning the lost, he's not talking to us yet. He said, they give up everything for a crown that's perishing. It's a perishable crown just for a trophy. They do all that hard work. They exercise all that self-control. They get all of those, the training, you know, 10 months of intense training for 10 minutes of glory. There it is. Now you've won. Here's the prize. They give you that little garland wreath, you know, and they put it on your head, and 10 hours later, it's wilted and fading and dying. You did all of that just for something that would perish. In verse 24, Paul opens and he says this, do you not know? Loved one, that was a rebuke to the church at Corinth, but it's also a warning and a rebuke to the 21st century church today. He's saying, listen, if you're going to win, there are certain things that you have to restrict in your liberty. You have to give up some rights. It's not going to be enough for us just to eat this, do this, don't eat that. You got to put your whole heart into it, he says. Listen, the church cannot be full of half-hearted, out-of-shape Christians who absolutely do nothing to win the lost. That's what Paul is saying. You know what? I know that you haven't forgotten that all of us that love the Lord Jesus Christ, are we running a race? Oh, loved one, of course we are. You know, not to, again, to be saved or to win heaven. Heaven is already home. We're already saved. But we're running that race, loved one, for that imperishable crown. And that crown is the reward. In other words, whatever we're going to receive from God, from the Lord Jesus Christ, at the judgment seat of Christ, the place where we're not judged for our sins are paid for. It's the place of rewards. And the only way that we, the church today and then, can run this race, we must exercise self-control, and we do so by the power of the Holy Spirit. And as it says in Hebrews 12:2, it says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. That's how we run that race. And he says, therefore, thus I run, not with uncertainty, thus I fight. So he says, I run and I fight, not as one who beats the air. In other words, punching the air. He's literally like a shadow boxer, okay? No, listen, to win souls, it's a battle. We engage in a battle. Paul says, I know where I'm going. I've set my eye on the finish line, man. I see it. He says, I'm not running with uncertainty, and neither are we. We're not as well. But look what he does. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. What a strange thing to say. I discipline my body. I make my body behave. Now, how do we, loved one, how do we make our body behave? Remember, you know, we're born from above. Amen. We still, I mean, this old flesh, you can't trust the flesh, meaning the old Adam, the old Adamic nature, the old fallen nature, who still wants control of your life. Man, I tell you, I'm afraid of the flesh. I don't trust the flesh. Did you trust the flesh? No. Listen, it'll get you in trouble every time. Man, no. What do we do? It says in Romans 8:13, it says, but by the Spirit, the power of another, not our power, but by the grace of God, the power of another, the Holy Spirit of God, we put to death the deeds of the flesh. You see, if we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen? And that's what Paul is saying right there. You have to discipline your body. And if you don't do that, look what he says. If I don't do it, you don't do it. Lest when I've preached to others, meaning the good news, I myself should become what? Whoa, what a word. Disqualified. I failed. I didn't stand the test. Again, not salvation, but talking about the rewards, the crown from the Lord at the Bema Seat of Christ. Listen, our bodies must be made and can be made to serve our one master, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember when we studied 1 Corinthians chapter 6, there in verse 19 through 20, Paul says, do you not know that your bodies, that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, meaning the Holy of Holies, the very naos of God, and that you do not belong to yourself and your purchased possession? In other words, that your body belongs to the Lord. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are the Lord's. We have to have only one master running us, loved one. That's what Paul is saying. I mean, listen, can you imagine? What a horrible thought. Can you imagine here you are running the race, but you kind of messed up or quit, I don't know. And all of a sudden, there you are. You run, you're home now. You're in heaven. And you stand there at the judgment seat of Christ. And like if I'm there and it goes, hey, Bill, oh, man, I had a crown for you. Why did you stop running? Why did you quit? What caused you to stop? Remember what Paul said upon his death, the great, great epistle in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. He says, Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished the race. And now laid up before me is that crown of righteousness that the Lord Jesus will give me in that day. Now listen, we can't stop fighting. It's a good fight. It's not a bad fight. We keep the faith. We keep running. See, there's only one way to run. And that is sometimes, you know what? We have to say, okay, I have the right to do this, but I'm not going to do it because it's going to offend my brother or it's going to offend my sister. I'm not going to do that at all. You know, for a Christian to stop running the race, I want you to listen very carefully. You remember that the Lord, there in the book of Revelation, he penned seven letters to the seven churches. And in one of the churches, he wrote in Revelation chapter 3, verse 11, the Lord Jesus said this. He said, behold, I'm coming quickly. You know what? He is. Now that word means, quickly means suddenly, unexpectedly. He's not going to send us a postcard. I'm coming. Do you understand? It means without announcement. He may come tonight. He may come before you get to Luby's. Do you understand? You don't know. Jesus said, I'm coming in an hour that you know not of. I'm coming on a day you don't know anything about. He says, therefore, be ready. Be ready. Be watching. Meaning, be expectant. Today may be the day that we go home. But until we go home, we have to keep running that race. Jesus said in Revelation 3:11, behold, I am coming quickly. Now listen to what he says. Hold fast. Hold tightly. Hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your crown. To hold something tightly, that means to, man, you got it. It means it's precious to you. The word of God has been entrusted to us, the good news. Amen. Hold it tightly. You've been entrusted with it just like Paul. Tell others about Jesus Christ, his love, and how their sins can be forgiven and hell will never be their home. Oh, listen, that's what we're to do. You know, someone wants to take our crown, loved one. Not talking about heaven, not talking about our salvation. See, we have the only truth that sets a person free. We have the only truth that'll translate a man out of the powers of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We have the only word that when declared and believed upon in the heart by man or woman, that God in heaven says, you believed in my son who paid all of your sin debt upon the cross. I now declare you judicially legal, righteous before me. Just as if you'd never sinned. Because Jesus paid all of your sin. Now I see you in my son. And when I see you in my son, I see you without sin. I see you as if you've never broken the law. I see you with his perfect standing. That's what a Christian is. That's what we hold in our hand. That's the word of God. Paul says, I'm running a race and you're running a race. I am running it. I don't want to be disqualified. You know the word disqualified? You know what it denotes? It means I failed the test. I'm saved. Heaven's home. Yet I failed the test. Now listen to me, believer. There are more things today than ever before to trip you up. There are things waiting for you to stop you from running. Hoping to stop you. Oh, they're subtle. They're quiet, but they're waiting for you. You have to walk in the Spirit as I have to walk in the Spirit. You have to let the Lord establish our steps. There are things waiting. We cannot be a people that's deceived. You know, I don't want to ever be disqualified. I want heaven, yes, I'm not be disqualified from heaven. But why would I want to miss what God says? What kind of reward are we going to get? I mean, it's not my idea. It's God's idea to give rewards. Can you believe that? I mean, he's going to say, yeah, run for me. Work for me. I love you. I've saved you, died for you. All those things that you're under grace. But I have something for you. When you see me, I have something, a crown, whatever it might be. Yes, we're going to lay our crowns at his feet. But boy, we're going to be with him forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Listen, someone put it like this. He said, to demand your rights, your Christian liberties. I can do this. I don't care if it harms my brother or my sister. It doesn't matter. To demand your rights is to condemn yourself to emotional poverty, because that is all you will get. Just your rights. What a sad way to live. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Apostle Paul. We thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for your word that penetrates our hearts, that's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank you, Lord, oh, for all that you've done for us. And Lord, that we're running that race. We're not going to be disqualified. We're not going to be tripped up. And we're not going to trip up others. We want to drag everybody to heaven with us. The ones that are running a slow race, we're going to come alongside, Father, and say, that's okay, I'll run slow with you. But I want you to get there. Even if I have to deny some of my freedoms and some of my liberties, I'll slow down. I'll even carry you if I have to. But I will not leave you behind. You know, this morning as our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and every Christian praying, I bid you, if you don't know Christ, that you would run to him now. Because time is short. Life is short. It's just for a season, and then you're gone. We're just a vapor. If you're here this morning, it's every believer is praying. If Jesus Christ is not your Lord, I'm not saying, are you a Baptist? Are you a Calvary Chapel? I'm not saying that at all. I'm asking you, is Jesus your Lord? Have you asked him to be the Lord of your life, to come and live in your heart, to have a living relationship with him? If you haven't, he loves you. He wants you. I want you. I want you to come to him. You say, Bill, how do I do that? You just lift your hand high. You don't have to come down here. Just lift it up and say, Bill, pray for me. I want Jesus. I see that hand. God bless you. I lift that hand. Anyone else, say, Bill, I want Christ as my Lord. I want my sins forgiven, washed away for eternity. Last call. Anyone else, say, Bill, that's me. Put your hand straight up. Put it right back down. Those that lifted your hands, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Church, help me out. Father, I come to you today because I just heard the good news. You sent your Son into this world to die for me. I'm so thankful, Lord. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. You promised, Father, if I would believe this, you would save me. I believe. Jesus be my Lord. Save me now. I am saved. In Jesus' name.
Pastor Bill's series will continue on our next broadcast, and we hope you'll tune in once again. We appreciate you listening today, and until next time, may the Lord bless you. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.